was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state or out of it. Today's title is The Speech is Mightier Than the Pork. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the co-host with the co-most. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
The what?
The co-most.
The co-most.
Yeah, you
anybody
have
anybody listening, he did not say comb over. I thought
no,
that's where
you don't
were
have
going.
One of those. You still have every hair on your head, every original hair.
Oh, man.
It's amazing. People
I'm
can
so
imagine
glad
it
you
at
believe
home.
In that. Well, they're doing it now.
They sure are. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, we will look at a controversial statue of the past in our yesterday's news segment. And for our main event, we will examine J. Proctor Knott's legendary Duluth speech, which turned a massive railroad project into a national joke. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. To start off, we have yesterday's news, and I'm sure you've seen all the statue controversies lately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Statues all over the country, statues in Kentucky,
right.
Lexington, John Hunt Morgan, all those kind of statues.
Different people maybe wanting to take down some statues, right?
Sure, and some people saying, no, let's keep them up. The good thing about history is it shows you that we are not unique, that we are not experiencing things that other people haven't gone through before.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone through this before. We have gone through this in 1920.
Okay.
In Alabama, they had a statue of John Wilkes Booth, and there were... We were reading about it here in a Kentucky newspaper, the Central Record. And there were some voters, women voters in particular, and they were civics-minded organization.
Right.
They decided that they wanted to have that statue removed,
uh-huh.
That it was distasteful.
Sure.
And to be honest with you, it shocked me that that statue existed.
Right.
Because it's John Wilkes Booth,
mm-hmm.
who assassinated a president.
So when was this thing put up? Do we know that?
It did not say, I believe, exactly, but you could pretty much bet that it was put up either in the Reconstruction or Gilded Age eras.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the eras immediately following the Civil War. The passions were still really, really high.
Right.
And they did stuff like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's crazy. That's where all these Confederate statues came from, as a
right.
matter of fact, was
yeah.
that they wanted to honor the losing side
yeah.
in the war.
But
and
in this particular case, the assassin of a president.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is just amazing. It would be just like you had a John Hinckley Jr. statue.
Yeah. Or, well, Lee Harvey Oswald statue.
Lee Harvey Oswald statue.
Yeah.
With him leaning out the window of the book depository
right.
with a little rifle or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's no wonder that they said, wow, we're looking back at this now in 1920
uh-huh.
and saying, no, we don't really like this.
Right.
We want to get rid of it. So the controversies are always with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a nice, heartening thing. We're not in uncharted territory.
Right. I mean, human beings are going to have different opinions
yeah.
on things.
And we'll get through it. It'll calm down.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of time between 1920 and 2017.
Right.
Between the things here that
so
we found.
When we talked about this, I thought you meant that this was a statue that was up for him as an actor before the assassination. And then so afterwards, they thought, we need to take this down because he was a very famous actor at the time.
He was famous, but this is going to be one of the things where they're honoring the lost cause,
right.
is what they call it in the history biz.
Okay.
The lost cause of the Civil War.
Did it? I guess it got taken down then.
The thing about these papers is they're telling you real-time events. And so you would have to search and search and search probably to find the conclusion to the story.
Do you have Google, Brent?
What's that?
It's like this big book that you can type into.
Oh, a big book.
Right, right.
I need that
you
for
like
my
that
bookshelf.
Idea.
I will look into purchasing one of those at the bookstore after the show. I'm glad you gave me that tip
yeah.
about that. And now, speaking of tips, we got to make some money around here with a word from our sponsors.
Are you patriotic? Are you for avenging the fate of the Maine and American seamen? Are you for free Cuba? If so, wear one of Uncle Sam's cravats. Price, 50 cents in silk. Text, clubs, ascots, foreign hands. For up-to-date and advanced styles, come always to the famous B. Wiley and Son, 409 Broadway. Uncle Sam's cravats, patriotic ties.
Man, that took me back. Who was that guy? That was like Staff Sergeant Vince Carter from Gomer Pyle. That was
or maybe scary. Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those guys must have done that, I think.
What is a cravat exactly? I thought that was an ascot.
Neckwear. Yeah, it's neckwear.
But what does it look like? Ascot, we're talking about Freddy on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Right? And I think here you're talking about a similar sort of thing.
Right.
But what really struck me about this was how political it was. That the ad itself is really taking specific political positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even imagine any business going in for that kind of thing today.
Yeah. So they want you to buy these in support of if you're for free Cuba.
Yeah, free Cuba as a policy.
Or avenging the fate of the Maine seamen.
Right. And so that's the explosion of the Maine that started the Spanish-American War.
Yeah.
1898. That's the thing that we're talking about here.
It's kind of a little bit in poor taste to use those deaths, maybe? I mean, you do support things with your clothing and how you look.
Yeah. You know, I think you're onto something here because it's not saying that it's going to – part of the sales are going to some kind of a fund or anything.
Right.
It's just, hey, we've got this biome.
Yeah.
It is a little bit in poor taste now that you mentioned that. That hadn't really struck me, but the political stuff has. I mean, I just can't even imagine – really specific political viewpoints as selling points in this ad. But that's the way it was for
sure. And the name of the store is The Famous.
B. Wiley and Son is the name of the store.
Why does it say come always to The Famous?
Because the store is famous. And so they use that as part of their tagline and everything. But sure, we are now ready for that main event. And the main event has to do with the Duluth speech. This was kind of an interesting thing. We're talking about the Gilded Age here. And in the Gilded Age, the railroad industry is in bed with the government, and the government is in bed with the railroad industry. And the government is actively seeking to promote the construction of railroads out west as infrastructure projects. That probably sounds familiar for 2017. Infrastructure is one of the things out there that we might be doing if we get some laws passed.
So maybe they just want funding for building railroads all over the place.
Of course, willy-nilly railroads.
Yeah.
And along came a guy from Kentucky who was in Congress at the time. He is also a Kentucky governor at a different point in time. But at this point, he's in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He's J. Proctor Knott. And he decided that he did not want to support this particular railroad project. It was up around the St. Croix River area up near Duluth, Minnesota. And at that time, there's nothing up there.
Right.
They're building this in hopes of spurring things, connecting the country from coast to coast. All those things are there. And then if the towns are built up later, well, that's great.
Which did happen. I mean, railroads go through and the cities would spring up or it'd make one little town a big
deal. Sure. It creates opportunities and things like that. The thing that reminds me of in the modern era is the Bridge to Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we remember the Bridge to Nowhere, 2008 campaign.
Yeah.
It was supposed to like massive building project, but like who's benefiting?
There's like 11 people over there.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And that's the issue that we've got at this juncture here with this railroad. So J. Proctor Knott got up on the floor of Congress. He wanted to take his turn speaking about it. And this thing got to be nationally famous as a speech. It's in anthologies of speeches, things like that. Today, we've kind of forgotten about it. But back then, it was a really big deal. And here's why. It's how he delivered it. Years ago, when I first heard that there was somewhere in the vast terra incognita, somewhere in the bleak regions of the great Northwest, a stream of water known to the nomadic inhabitants of the neighborhood as the River St. Croix, I became satisfied that the construction of a railroad from that raging torrent to some point in the civilized world was essential to the happiness and prosperity of the American people, if not absolutely indispensable to the perpetuity of Republican institutions on this continent.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, as I have said, sir, I was utterly at a loss to determine where the terminus of this great and indispensable road should be, until I accidentally overheard some gentleman the other day mention the name Duluth. Duluth. The word fell upon my ear with peculiar and indescribable charm, like the gentle murmur of a low fountain stealing forth in the midst of roses, or the soft, sweet accents of an angel's whisper in the bright, joyous dream of sleeping innocence. Duluth. 'Twas the name for which my soul had panted for years, as the heart panteth for water brooks. But where was Duluth? Never in all my limited reading had my vision been gladdened by seeing the celestial word in print. And I felt a profounder humiliation in my ignorance that its dulcet syllables had never before ravished my delighted ear.
He's getting really crazy on this, isn't he? He's getting flowery.
He is illustrating absurdity by being absurd.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's happening. I was certain that the draftsman of this bill had never heard of it, or it would have been designated as one of the termini of this road. I asked my friends about it, but they knew nothing of it. I rushed to the library and examined all the maps I could find. I discovered one of them in a delicate hair-like line. Diverging from the Mississippi near a place marked Prescott, which I suppose was intended to represent the River St. Croix, but I could nowhere find Duluth.
Yeah.
So we're on this big mystery tour now. Like, where is Duluth? It's so wonderful sounding, but I just can't find the darn thing anywhere.
Yeah, so tiny. Nary a map around with it on there, right?
Yeah. And it's actually kind of funny. He had people from Minnesota give him a map, a special one that had Duluth on there.
Okay.
And so he actually brought that in here, and he's like pointing to it during the middle of the speech.
Yeah.
As part of the
show. Well, these people probably want that railroad.
A lot of them would have supported it, probably without thinking much about it.
Yeah.
Hey, railroads. Railroads are the hip thing right now. Mm-hmm. Let's sign off on it. No big deal. This made them stop and think about it.
Right.
And in fact, by the time he's done, it killed the bill.
Yeah.
And it was over with. Nobody could vote for it because they're like, I'm not voting for that. I'm not voting for the bridge to nowhere.
After ridicule, rarely do people support things.
And I guess that's really the case here. Maybe the ultimate example of it. So he's trying to find Duluth on a map when last we left him. Nevertheless, I was confident it existed somewhere. It has to be there somewhere, right? And that its discovery would constitute the crowning glory of the present century, if not all modern times. I knew it was bound to exist in the very nature of things, that the symmetry and perfection of our planetary system would be incomplete without it. Yet, sir, had it not been for this map kindly furnished me by the legislature of Minnesota, I might have gone down to my obscure and humble grave in agony of despair because I could nowhere find Duluth. Had such been my melancholy fate, I have no doubt that with my last feeble pulsation of my breaking heart, with the last faint exhalation of my fleeting breath, I should have whispered, "Where is Duluth?"
Man, he's really playing it up.
Yeah, he's going full bore.
Right. He's having fun with this.
He is. And everybody else is having fun, too, if you will notice in the transcript.
Laughing. Yeah, they gotta be.
Roars of laughter, great laughter, are frequently interjected amongst these lines.
This makes an otherwise, like, he could do the exact same speech in reverse and say, try to convince people how stupid this is. But he made his point and made it fun for everybody else, too.
Made it better than he would have ever made it
doing
the other style.
Like you said before, it made it a laughing point in the country.
It's a joke after this. Mm-hmm. You can't vote for the joke.
Right.
I mean, you can vote for something that some guy just has a problem with.
Right, yeah.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
But once it becomes joke level,
that's
a whole different story. Thanks to the beneficence of that band of ministering angels who have their bright abodes in the far-off capital of Minnesota. Just as the agony of my anxiety was about to culminate in the frenzy of despair, this blessed map was placed in my hands. And as I unfolded it, a resplendent scene of ineffable glory opened before me, such as I imagined burst upon the enraptured vision of the wandering Perry through the opening gates of paradise. He's going to have a lot of classical mythology references, things like that in here, because that's their reference point back in those days.
Yeah, it's kind of in that language, too, of that day.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, oratory, 19th century oratory. There, for the first time, my enchanted eye rested upon the ravishing word Duluth. This map, sir, is intended, as it appears from its title, to illustrate the position of Duluth in the United States. But if gentlemen will examine it, I think they will concur with me in the opinion that it is far too modest in its pretensions. It not only illustrates that the position of Duluth in the United States, but exhibits its relations with all created things. It even goes further than this. It lifts the shallowy veil of futurity and affords us a view of the golden prospects of Duluth far along the dim vista of ages yet to come. If gentlemen will examine it, they will find Duluth not only in the center of the map, but represented in the center of a series of concentric circles, 100 miles apart, and some of them as much as 4,000 miles in diameter, embracing alike in their tremendous sweep, the far fragrant savannas of the sunlit south, the eternal solitudes of snow that mantle the ice-bound north.
He's just going on the map now. What he means is Duluth in the middle of the map, and then you can see the relation of it, and there are lines around it like any map.
Yeah, but in this case, there's nothing around it.
Yeah.
You can go 4,000 miles to the next landmark. That's right. How these circles were produced is perhaps one of those primordial mysteries that the most skillful paleologist will never be able to explain. But the fact is, sir, Duluth is preeminently a central place, for I am told by gentlemen who have been so reckless of their own personal safety as to venture away into those awful regions where Duluth is supposed to be, that it is so exactly in the center of the visible universe that the sky comes down at precisely the same distance all around it. You can look all around for miles and just see horizon.
Yeah. There's a tree there.
Maybe. I find by reference to this map that Duluth is situated somewhere near the western end of Lake Superior. But as there is no dot or other mark indicating its exact location, I am unable to say whether it is actually confined to any particular spot or whether it is just lying around there loose. I really cannot tell whether it is one of those ethereal creations of intellectual frostwork, more intangible than the rose-tinted clouds of a summer sunset, one of those airy exaltations of the speculator's brain, which I am told are ever flitting in the form of towns and cities along those lines of railroad, built with government subsidies, luring the unwary settler as the mirage of the desert lures the famishing traveler on and ever on until it fades away in the darkening horizon, or whether it's a real bona fide substantial city all staked off with lots marked with their owner's names.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's getting at something here, too, that really happened, right? They would advertise back east.
Sure.
Come to Duluth.
Sure.
Or wherever out west.
New opportunities. Settle the land. Lots available.
Yeah. And then maybe they go out there. Yeah, there might be some lots, but lots of nothing else.
Yeah. I've seen ads like that in Kentucky papers trying to lure people out to Oklahoma.
People. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Then, sir, there is the climate of Duluth. Now, you know that he can have a field day with this, right? The climate of Duluth.
Yeah.
Minnesota. Unquestionably, the most delightful to be found anywhere on the Lord's earth. Now, I have always been under the impression, as I presume other gentlemen have, that in the region around Lake Superior, it was cold enough for at least 9 months in the year to freeze the smokestack off a locomotive. But I see it represented on this map that Duluth is situated exactly halfway between the latitudes of Paris and Venice. That's true, by the way.
Oh, really?
Europe has a really far north latitude.
Oh, sure.
You'd be shocked if you kind of went across the globe looking for that.
Oh, yeah. When you look at England, it should be freezing.
Yeah. But it's got that, the water stuff.
Warm
the currents
coming
and everything.
Up.
Yeah,
right.
That's
and
exactly
France,
right.
Too.
But it's showing right here. It's beneath or between Paris and Venice. Really nice feeling places. So
continue,
the gentleman.
Continue. We got to hear it.
Got to get to
You're
the end.
You're doing great
sometime.
With these words, too, man. Because some of these words you don't see all the time.
They had vocabularies back then, without a doubt. So that gentlemen who have inhaled the exhilarating airs of the one or basked in the golden sunlight of the other, those cities we mentioned earlier, may see at a glance that Duluth must be a place of untold delights, a terrestrial paradise. Fanned by the balmy zephyrs of an eternal spring, clothed in the gorgeous sheen of ever-blooming flowers, and vocal with the silvery melody of nature's choicest songsters, the birds. Sir, I might stand here for hours and hours and expatiate with rapture upon the gorgeous prospects of Duluth as depicted upon this map, but human life is too short, and the time of this house far too valuable to allow me to linger longer upon the delightful theme. I think every gentleman on this floor is as well satisfied as I am that Duluth is destined to become the commercial metropolis of the universe, and that this road should be built at once. I am fully persuaded that no patriotic representative of the American people who has a proper appreciation of the associated glories of Duluth and the St. Croix will hesitate a moment to say that every able-bodied female in the land between the age of 18 and 45 who is in favor of women's rights should be drafted and set to work upon this great work without delay. Nevertheless, sir, it grieves my very soul to be compelled to say that I cannot vote for the grant of lands provided for in this bill.
Right, yeah.
There's the punchline.
Yeah, he builds all that just to say, and that's probably where he like, if they had a mic, he would have dropped it, right?
Yeah. He could have invented that if they would have had the proper electronics.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
This is neat when somebody takes a chance to do this, just to be funny in public life.
Yeah, it was a little risky.
A little risky.
I suppose sure. It could backfire and you could be the joke.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he did it all the time. Maybe this is just who he was.
Now, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I've read about that, and he was supposedly really funny in private,
yeah,
but really dry and boring in public speeches.
Okay.
Well, but maybe this is the one time where he let loose.
Right.
Or there are some conspiracy theories that say that he plagiarized it and that he had a ghostwriter or something. But I don't know.
You mean writing his speeches? That's okay. He's a politician. They're not writing all of their speeches. Of course, they have speech writers.
Now, not as true back then.
Okay.
Back then, they're supposed to be orators, and they're supposed to be able to do all this.
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, that's interesting. It's hard to say exactly. Chances are maybe he just went for it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you don't want to try to replicate it every time.
Well, that's true.
Because at that point, you are the joke.
Not going to do that again.
Right.
Just lives on in their memory.
Right, exactly. We got to pay some more history bills around here, though. Fake history sponsors demand that we do this. Washington's birthday special. We've chopped down the prices. Pabst or Stroh's beer, 6-pack, 95 cents. Warm, no return bottles. Red Bull Suburban Liquor Store, Shelbyville Road, across from Oxmoor Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
So Washington's birthday.
Yeah.
Do you remember that being a big deal?
Washington's birthday?
Yeah.
No?
We used to celebrate it.
You mean President's Day that combines Washington and Lincoln?
Oh, no. This is predating that.
Oh, I don't remember
Because, see, with
that.
President's Day, they're forcing you to celebrate James Buchanan
uh-huh.
and Franklin Pierce.
What?
And Grover Cleveland and all those guys.
Oh. Well, but they did kind of combine the ideas. You know, it'd be interesting to find out, was there a holiday for Washington?
Oh, people used to celebrate that as a holiday.
Okay. Yeah, like maybe they took the day off even. I thought they combined it to kind of pay tribute to Lincoln and Washington.
Well, that's the thing. There was also Lincoln's birthday, and mm-hmm. they are close together in proximity.
Yeah.
So George Washington's birthday is February 22nd. Lincoln's birthday is February 12th.
Okay.
And so what they did was just kind of split the difference.
Yeah.
Generic President's Day.
Maybe they had two holidays for both of those guys.
That and
they
might
said,
be
this
possible.
Is too much in February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when we got Martin Luther King Day, I mean, something's got to give. You can't just keep adding holidays. And so we kind of squished all the presidents together.
Why is that? Why
you know
is
what?
That?
Great point. We should keep adding holidays.
Right.
Every day should be a holiday except for one. And that's Labor Day.
Yeah.
And so on Labor Day, you should work. Uh-huh. And every other day, you should have off.
We should talk about that, too, sometimes. Why is there a Labor Day holiday?
Yeah, we'll have to save that for other times.
Time is ticking.
It is. Right now, it is time for your takeaway.
Oh, boy. Is this what it's like to be in the classroom with you?
Yeah.
You
like get put on the spot,
don't you?
And I demand to know if you were paying attention over there.
Takeaways. What do you do? I'm going to Duluth.
You're going to figure it out for yourself. Was it worth it? Was it a mistake that we killed the bill?
I disagree. I think Duluth is wonderful.
I don't really know myself. We do have to have an investigative committee to find out, don't we?
Uh-huh.
And we have now turned to the final page of this chapter. But never fear. You weren't afraid, were you?
No. This is my favorite moment.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I knew it. That's
Can
why
I, stop
I make
talking
you do those
now,
takeaways.
Brent? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. More quirky old Kentucky tales are yet to be told. Special thanks to our sound engineer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS, and the rest is history.